Well, thank you, Mr. Bruhn, for reading the scripture for us today. And my message this Christmas morning has a special focus, and that is Mary's experience of the birth of Christ and the main lesson of Mary's experience, which I'll give to you in the words that the angel Gabriel gave to her on the day that he announced her miraculous pregnancy. Nothing will be impossible with God. That's the main lesson of Mary's experience. And so although Bill read all 20 verses of the Christmas story, my message is only on one verse, and that's verse 19. And if you look at it, I'll read it again. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And since this is what the whole message is going to be about this morning, I'd like you to picture in your imagination at the outset, Mary pondering, as it says. She was pondering these things and treasuring them up in her heart. So let me set the scene for this pondering. It's the wee hours of the same night that Christ was born. The crisis of his birth in a stable has passed, but just barely. And so now she's taking care of her newborn son. The shepherds have come, but they haven't yet left. At least they haven't gone back to their sheep, because that's in the next verse, verse 20. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just had been told them. And so all this is happening. She's still in the stable. The shepherds are still there. When Mary begins treasuring these things up in her heart and pondering them. Well, what was Mary pondering? Well, that's the $1 million question for this morning. That's the question that we have for this message, and that's what my message is about. But let me approach it in this way. What surprised Mary about this night? What was unexpected for her? What was brand new for her? And let me say that I don't think she was terribly surprised by the birth of her son. She was surprised he was born in a barn. In a stable, so she was surprised at the way in which he was born. I don't think she and Joseph were expecting that. That was not exactly what they had planned. But she was not terribly surprised by the birth itself. Mary's conception of this child was not at all normal. He was conceived without the help of a man by the Holy Spirit. But Mary's pregnancy was a normal pregnancy. And so it had all the things that normally go along with pregnancy. And the birth was a normal birth, and so I assume it had all the things that ordinarily go along with birth. And so I don't think Mary was terribly surprised by the birth of her son. She'd been expecting that for 9 months. She'd been knowing that that would come. But Mary was completely surprised on this night by the arrival of the shepherds. That was something new for her to ponder with what she already knew. She was completely surprised by the arrival of the shepherds and by their words. She had no idea they were coming and no idea what they would say. And it was completely unexpected. And so I picture Mary pondering their words, the words of the shepherds as we read this verse. And I think that seems to agree with the way Luke tells this story as well. And let me pick up in verse 16 and show you this. So they, that's the shepherds, they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which had been told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. It says in my translation, Mary pondered all these things. And that's a good translation. The word can sometimes mean things, but it can just as easily mean words. And I prefer that. I like that better. Mary treasured all these words, pondering them in her heart. And it matches verse 17. When they, the shepherds, had seen this, they made known the statement in my translation, but it's the same that Mary was, same word that Mary was pondering. When they had seen this, they made known the word which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary treasured all these words, pondering them in her heart. It says, everyone who heard the shepherd's words wondered, marveled, verse 18. But Luke seems to hint that they all who heard it, they marveled, they wondered in such a way that they quickly forgot. Because there seems to be a contrast with Mary. They wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary treasured all these things. She kept them. In other words, in order not to forget it, she stored these words in her so that she wouldn't quickly forget. She treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the word, it's literally casting them together. And that's the way you don't forget something, is you turn it over in your mind. You keep throwing the parts together in your mind in different ways to make a whole and to increase your understanding. And so this is what Mary did, and it's just what you must do as well, to ponder these words, to treasure them up in your heart, and to cast them together. So let me give you this morning Mary's ponderings in two parts. First, where the God who does the impossible may be found. And second, the faith that grasps him. So first, where the God who does the impossible, that is the real God, the God of the Bible, where he may be found. And second, the faith that grasps him. And I think Mary was pondering over those things. As we go, you'll see that most of that comes from the shepherd's report, what they told her, and then what she in turn treasured up and pondered in her heart. So Mary treasured up and pondered, first of all, where the God who does the impossible may be found. And so when the creator of all creatures, when the one who is God with the Father, that is God the Son, is born on earth to be a savior, the angels announce the good news to who? To philosophers attending a lecture? To kings in council? To soldiers? Elite soldiers who are on a mission? No. It's announced to shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And so the fact that shepherds arrived at the manger to tell Mary the tale of the angel's announcement must have brought back to Mary the memory of the words of her own song, which you'll find back in chapter 1 and verse 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. And it's already happening as the shepherds come with the words of the announcement of the angel's announcement. These shepherds were men so simple, so straightforward, so lacking in nuance that they believed what the angels told them was true. And they rejoiced in what the angels told them was joyful. Imagine that. Imagine being as unsophisticated as that. Imagine being as rude as that. And that's the kind of men that came and spoke and gave these words to Mary. One angel had suddenly appeared to them in blinding light and told them good news of great joy of a child born that day to be Savior and also where they might find him. And then they saw a multitude of angels singing. And if you picture these angels that they saw along the lines of men, and the Bible encourages us to do that at times and describes angels as men or analogous to men in some way. But if you're going to imagine this heavenly host, this multitude of angels that they saw, don't imagine a choir dressed in robes and sort of gently swaying in unison back and forth as they sing. Imagine warriors on the march, an army shouting in triumph, rejoicing over their victory, because that's the word that's used for them. A multitude of the heavenly host, and host means an army, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And so, in other words, it's only through this child, the child that the one angel has announced his birth, it's only where this child is honored as Savior, and that's what the angel said that he came to do, that God may be glorified in heaven in such a way that there's peace with God on earth and goodwill toward men. And it's only through this child, where this child is honored, that there can be peace on earth among men, peace with God, and goodwill among men in such a way that God is glorified in heaven. It all comes together in this child. And so this is what all the angels are singing, this great army of angels as they join in with joy in this song. Only through this child does God draw near to men, and he's found in no other way than through this child. What the shepherds saw, I would call a collective vision. In other words, nobody else in Bethlehem looked out their window that night and saw the sky on fire with light and heard the sound of these many angels and their joyful singing. Just the shepherds, just these few shepherds with a collective vision that they all shared. And so because of that, the world, in all its wisdom, the brightest, the best, the most powerful, the most holy, had no idea what God was doing in the stable that night in Bethlehem. No one noticed, no one recognized, the most learned people on earth knew nothing about it, and there was not a hint to be found of it in any of their books, not a syllable, because these were words that were shouted down from heaven to earth, and not shouted up from earth to heaven, shouted down by angels and not shouted up towards God by men, but only to shepherds and not to anyone else. They could tell. The shepherds were able to tell. They told Mary. They told many people about it, but it was only told to these shepherds. And this was to show that the whole world is utterly foolish, is utterly blind, is utterly undiscerning and insensitive when it comes to God. And so the message was announced to shepherds in order to make that point. And it's something that Mary pondered as she pondered the words and who it was who told her these words. And where was the child to be found? Verse 12, this is part of what the shepherds must have told Mary. This is what the angel said to them. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, this was a sign to help them find the baby in the city, or the village, I think I should say, of Bethlehem. And so he was to be found by two marks that you'll read there. He was a baby wrapped in cloths, that's the first, and lying in a manger. Now, the first mark was completely normal. All newborn babies were wrapped in swaddling clothes at this time. But the other mark was completely abnormal and even bizarre. A baby wrapped in cloths, a newborn, and lying in a manger. And that was completely strange, completely bizarre. All newborns were wrapped in swaddling, but no newborns were put in the feeding trough of an animal. That would be as unusual then as it would be today, to hear you'll find the baby in the dog's bowl, in the dog's dish. You say, what? How why would I find a baby in the dog's dish, and in the feeding trough of an animal? And so even the way the angel says this, these two signs, the first one needs no explanation and none is given. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, no explanation needed, and lying in a manger. Sorry, I'm pointing to the wrong verse. Look at verse 7, where the baby's born. And Luke doesn't give explanation for the verse. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths. No explanation needed, because that's what happened to all newborns. And laid him in a manger. That's the strange thing. And so an explanation is given, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's why they were in the stable. That's why the baby was put in this strange place. Now, this was not just a sign so that the shepherds would find this baby and not another baby in Bethlehem, although it worked very well for that. There were no other newborns lying in a manger in Bethlehem except for that baby. And so it worked very well for the shepherds, and they eventually found him. But it was not just a sign so they'd find this baby, but it was a sign of where the God who does impossible things may be found. And he's found in an unbelievably lowly place. He's found lying in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And this is the problem with all human wisdom. It's so wise that it always looks up. It always wants to see great things. It always wants to aspire to great things. And so it won't look down. It can't look down to what is lowly, to find God wrapped and lying in a manger. And yet this is the one place where the God who does impossible things allows himself to be found. This is the one place where God is glorified in the highest to give peace on earth and goodwill among men. Everywhere else, he's glorified in the highest by what? By his wrath, by his unrelenting, implacable wrath against sin. And so if you would find the God of the Bible, the real God, the God who does impossible things, and have peace with him, have fellowship with him, experience his goodwill to his glory in the highest, then you have to stop looking up. You have to stop wanting to see great things, and you have to start looking down to what is lowly, like a stinking stable where a baby is born, who is God himself and laid in a manger, like the dark hole of sin in your own heart, because that's the only place where you'll find and love a God who does impossible things. That's the only place where you'll hear the angels' tidings as good news and not foolishness, and you'll actually rejoice in it, that one who is God himself, the creator of all, should be born a savior who's Christ the Lord. All of this Mary considered as she heard and pondered the shepherd's report. She treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. First, where God may be found, the God who does impossible things may be found in a lowly place, in a manger, heralded by shepherds, lowly shepherds, a God who saves sinners from a place where the world in all its wisdom won't look and can't look and wants to be blind. So she pondered first where God may be found, and then second, the faith that grasps him, as shown to her by the shepherds, as told to her in the shepherds' words, and they were great examples of the faith that grasps him. So what is the faith that grasps him? We've seen where the Lord is found, in a lowly place, in a manger, and there's a message in that for you. But what is the faith that grasps him? Well, let me say this, that it will do you no good to believe that God was born as a baby in Bethlehem. It will do you no good to believe that God entered the world of history in order to be a savior and born as a man, and that will not last long in your heart or in your mind, unless you believe that he did this for you. And that's in keeping with the angel's words that were told to the shepherd and were in turn told to Mary. Look at verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you, he says to the shepherds, a savior who is Christ the Lord. Or look at the verse before that. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And so the angel didn't say, I bring good news of great joy. Today in the city of David, a savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. No, he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a savior, who is Christ the Lord. And that's the word that the shepherds believed in was true. Not just that Christ was born, but that he was born for them. And so do you believe that? Do you believe this Christmas, not just that God came into the world, that he was born and he was born to be a savior, but do you believe that he was born to be a savior for you? In the heart where that is believed, that he came to be a savior for you, where God is taken at his impossible word, God will do miracle after miracle. Where that conviction reigns in your heart, the victory's already won. And you'll find behind every trouble, not some evil fate waiting to fall on you, but you'll find God's complete favor. You'll find God behind that trouble strengthening you with impossible courage, the courage of a forgiven conscience, strengthening you to dare to rely on him, to praise him, to love him, to call on him in every need and to pray in Jesus' name, the name of the Savior, who is Christ, the Lord who came for you and was born for you. So it will do you no good to believe that Christ was born as a Savior unless you believe that Christ came and was born for you. And that's exactly the words that the angel said. That's exactly the words that Mary was pondering. It will do you no good unless you believe that he came for you and unless you believe with joy. Do you think the shepherd's joy rubbed off on Mary as she pondered their words? The angel never commanded them to go find the baby. The angel just told them where and how the baby might be found. And the angel certainly never told them when to go find them. Go find them after your shift is over. Go find them next week. He just simply told them where to be found. There's no command in the angel's message to them. And yet the shepherds can't contain their joy. They can't contain their excitement. They come and find him spontaneously. And so it says, verse 15, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The King James Version has the word now in it. Let us go now to Bethlehem. And this is what they concluded, not because they were commanded, but because of their joy in believing the words of the angel. A Savior has been born for us this day in the city of David. And this is the way where he's been found. And so verse 16, they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph as they're talking to each other excitedly about where he can be found. And then later, as they go back, verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just had been told them with great joy. And their joy must have spilled over to Mary as she treasured their words and pondered the things which had been announced to them. The shepherds, they had been afraid before they became so joyful. When the angel suddenly appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, verse 9, and they were terribly frightened. King James Version says they were sore afraid. And literally what it is they feared a great fear, and so they were terribly afraid. They were sore afraid when the angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people, which will be for all the world as well. And so the angels, after frightening them, said, no. This is not a frightening message I'm bringing. This is good tidings of great joy. And so they went from fear to joy. And actually, the gospel must make you afraid before it makes you to be joyful, because it condemns the best of all your wisdom. It condemns the best of all your righteous deeds. It even condemns your best aspirations for righteous deeds that you don't even do. It condemns all of those things. And so you have to abandon those things and let go and rely only on the glad tidings of a Savior born for you with great joy. And so what the shepherds experienced of great fear when the glory of the Lord first appears to them, and then it's changed because of the words, to great joy, not because of the sight. Nothing changed about the light that was shining around them, but the words caused that fear to change to great joy. And it's the same for you. The shepherds saw an impressive sight that night, didn't they? And I don't mean the baby in the manger, because that wasn't an impressive sight. That wasn't impressive at all, kind of more of a pathetic sight, or even a revolting sight to see a child born in that kind of poverty. So they saw an impressive sight, not the baby in the manger, but the triumphant angel army shouting in victory. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? To have seen that great army shouting glory to God and singing in that way. Wouldn't you have liked to have heard their song? Wouldn't you like to see even one angel? Wouldn't it strengthen your faith, do you think, if you saw even one of these mighty angels? But what did the shepherds do? Did they run into Bethlehem? Did they wake everyone up and say, you'll never guess what we've seen? We saw the whole sky full of these mighty angels singing in joy. No, they ran to Bethlehem to find the baby that the angels spoke of. and that the angels sang of. And by the time they start looking, it's as if they've forgotten that the angels are the ones that have told them. Look at verse 15. When the angels had gone from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this great thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The angels are just the delivery men. They're just the messengers, and the message comes from the Lord. And they've forgotten about the messengers. They've forgotten about the delivery men. Let's see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. Yes, through angels, but it's the Lord himself who's made known to this. And of course, Mary didn't see any angel armies. She didn't see any angels at all on this night, but she only heard the shepherd's words, the report of this, which she treasured up and pondered, and she received with joy. And it's the same for you on this Christmas day. You will see no angels on this Christmas day. No impressive speaker to deliver the angel's message, but the angel's words are for you. And they're delivered in the same way they're delivered to Mary by an unimpressive person. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The same words which the shepherds heard and which Mary heard in a different way, and that she rejoiced in, are given to you. And so test yourself with the angels' words. Take yourself in hand, as they say, whether or not you are a Christian. As the Apostle Paul says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Test yourself with the angel's words. Today is born for you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then say, I believe what the angel said is true, that Christ has been born for me. If you let those words sink deeply into your hearts, you'll find great joy. If you let those impossible words, that Christ is born for you today, a Savior. If you let those impossible words sink into your heart, you'll find impossible joy. The greatest potential for blasphemy this Christmas season, or for missing the meaning of Christmas this Christmas season, is not at the department store at the mall where Santa is taking pictures with kids who come to see him. The greatest potential for missing the meaning of Christmas, or for blaspheming the name of Christ, is right here in church, where the scripture is read, where the words of scripture are read, and their words, they go with you who are the church every day. Because the child who's born on Christmas Day wants to keep his name, which the angels called him, which is Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so treasure up that word. In other words, don't forget it. That's what it means to treasure it up. Today, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And ponder it in your heart. Cast its parts together around in your hearts until God makes you whole. And be encouraged, along with the lowly shepherds, along with lowly Mary, along with your lowly brothers and sisters at Trinity Bible Church, to take God at his impossible word and to believe it, and then to experience God's impossible forgiveness, his impossible love, his impossible peace, and impossible joy. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for these words, and that many impressive things happened on this day. Many impressive things were seen by the shepherds, and yet the most important thing were these words: today is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We pray that we would not forget these words, but that we would treasure them in our hearts, that we would be like Mary, casting the parts of these words together, that a Savior has been born for us, who is Christ the Lord, remembering these things and pondering them. We pray that we would believe these words, and that your Holy Spirit would use these words to accomplish impossible things through us, impossible courage to believe you, and impossible joy that only you can give. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.